Joe gave so much good news today, I think Isaiah becomes a favorite part of the Bible and has hit the culture in the recent times. Not so far back, there was a movie called Chariots of Fire, which took a great part of a passage in Isaiah, had that read during the worship time. So if you want to check out that movie, you know, just go to the worship time part. And it's pretty inspirational, the impact it had on this particular runner's life and the life of people who gathered to worship in and around the Olympic Games. Also, the Messiah, Handel's Messiah, big part of it taken out of a book of Isaiah. Jesus' kickoff verses for the way he described his ministry, guess which book he picked. You know, he opens the scroll, let's see, Psalms, no, Exodus, no. Okay, Jeremiah, this is what I want to read. Okay, it was about him. And so God really changes lives through the prophet Isaiah. We don't do justice to it, of course, just with the two sermons things here. But some passages that were helpful. And sometimes people in the Bible, they pick different passages. You know, if you look at Romans 3, when Paul was talking about a sin problem, he decided to quote from seven different parts of the Old Testament in seven verses. So he was all over the place. So I thought if he could be all over the place, Joe could be all over the place today. Seven verses for seven brothers. Something like that. Did that become a movie at one time? No, that's something else. So one of the strong messages of Isaiah is this: God's people's sin was like a sickness and described in chapter 1, affecting the soles of our feet all the way to the top of our head. Sometimes we got ill and that's how we felt, with the flu or some kind of terrible disease. I was getting sick all over. Not one part of you felt good. God says this is what sin does to our soul. Nothing about who we are is healthy with rebellion against the Lord. So a good message from Isaiah is this: God's discipline and correction to us is as faithful as his unconditional love. Something we can hold for ourselves. You know, we can count on God. He loves us unconditionally, but he'll be just as faithful to bring correction and discipline. So those ouch times between us and the Lord, which are pretty painful, you know, they're for his honor and for our good in the long run. I just picked three phrases to concentrate in this morning for the message, chapter 40, verses 9 through 11. And just to give it a review for you: you who bring good tidings or good news to Zion and to Jerusalem. So there's good things God wants to pass on. He says, lift up your voice with a shout. Don't be afraid. Go on a high mountain. Bible school practice, or maybe senior high Sunday school, go and stand in a parking lot at the top of the mountain over there in the back and have somebody else, one of your teachers, go down in a car in Hauntown or at Banco Park, okay, and you shout on the hill and see if they could hear you. I think they'll hear you. If it's a quiet day, not too much traffic, this is what God's saying. Hey, Isaiah, go do this. Go give people good news. Make it loud and clear. So that's what we want to do. And he says, hey, here is your God. Here's the good news. Here is your God. Has to do with God's impact. Then he says, see, the sovereign Lord comes with power, with a strong right arm. And then he's like a shepherd. Not only is he strong and ruling everything, he carries the lambs close to his heart. So the Lamb of God, Jesus, makes us lambs, and he gives us that protection. And we know the strength we don't have on our own, the strength from him. So I just wanted to hit the three phrases: good news, sovereign Lord, and good shepherd. Okay, and the outline is from Pastor Kraft. Okay, I didn't get this one there on a Tuesday morning. So we're thankful for those brothers. So first, God is here. Behold your God. That's the good news. Same kind of phrase Pilate used when he pointed to Jesus and Jesus was going to give his life. You know what Pilate said? He said, behold the man. Everybody was to look at Jesus. Isaiah saying the same thing. Behold your God. That's what the good old King James says. God is there to dominate the history. 700 BC, dominate Isaiah's life, life of the people, your life and my life, and every inch of the universe. Behold your God. That's what Abraham Kuyper was trying to get at, I think, when he said, there's not a square inch of the universe about which Jesus doesn't come up and point to it and say, this belongs to me. This belongs to me. Here is your God. He's ruling that moment, that molecule, that inch, as it were. Isaiah heard the angel say, the whole earth is full of God's glory. And for all the time for us, that means a lot in our changing seasons. A phone call could change our life, you know, just like that. Doctor's report. A conversation that turns out to be, well, fantastic, more blessing than we realized. Okay, the changing times, we say, behold your God. He's right in the middle of it. I like the old songs, Jesus in the morning. It's a good time. Jesus in the noontime. Jesus when the sun goes down. Okay, or if you like another one, love him in the morning when you see the sun arise, and love him in the evening because he took you through the day. And in the in-between times, when you feel the pressure coming, remember that he loves you and he promises to stay. Behold your God. That's Isaiah, the presence of God coming. We'll find him in unexpected places when you and I sin. We're going to run into God. We thought we were running away from him, but there he was, waiting for us. We run into him because he brings conviction, brings invitation, brings that call to repentance. Okay, we run into God in life. And we say, here is God. He's the one Isaiah said would bear our griefs and sorrows. He's the one who would say, you see, you know that sin that you think is fantastic? I want to take it on myself, which I have at the cross, and I would like to give you myself instead of the pain of your soul, the goodness of God himself. So we'll meet God in unexpected places, even in a prison. Alexander Solzhenitsyn met God in a slave labor camp, going along with the persecuted church thing, which is worse than ever, seems historically, especially in the Middle East. But Solzhenitsyn said, you know, he learned in prison there was a line in his own soul, very thin line between evil and good. All the evil he saw around him and the good he knew came from God. And he said only God could keep him toward the good. And he ended up saying, blessed prison. It was like God came to him in the prisons and said, behold your God. He said, blessed prison. And it goes along with the old hymn, faith of our fathers, living still in spite of dungeon and sword. Our fathers chained in prison dark were still in heart and conscience free. That can be us. I was chained by sin. We still let sin get us fallen down. But with the strength of God, our heart and conscience can be set free. Behold your God. He can do that for you. He did that to Isaiah and through Isaiah. Theme for Jesus' ministry, again, God sets the prisoners free. Pastor Abedini, in prison in Iran, but free right here. Maybe more free here than you and I many times. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. When you like to be free, oh, you know, if I went to meet with God and he kind of gave me life with him I never had. That's the good news that God is here. Behold your God. Second good news, the sovereign Lord comes with power. Sovereign means he rules, because that's the next verse in that. Sovereign Lord comes, he rules. Isaac Watts, He caught that and he starts writing, you know, great songs. He wrote, "He rules. He rules the world with truth and grace. Makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love." What's happening in the world today? He rules the world with truth and grace. He's making everybody prove the glories of his righteousness and the wonders of his love. The Lord's good at that. He's good at ruling the universe. God's in control. We're not in control, and we don't control God. This is probably, I know in my own life, it becomes a bad ambition of the believer. I can't control myself, so maybe I can control my brothers and sisters. So, pastor on the run. Or maybe I can control God. If I do this, he may do that. You know, God's not going to have it. He's there to be in control of us, have our life be surrendered to him. So he is sovereign. Man, when Isaiah looked at man, he said, you know, man's glory, you know what it's like? It's like grass and flowers that are getting pretty brown out there. You know, in the common day, we say, here today, gone tomorrow. But in the Bible, as one preacher said, we heard on Wednesdays, he said, really, the Bible teaches here today, gone today. Here today, gone today. That's the shortness of our life compared to the glory of God. But the Word of God stands forever. So there's a humility knowing the sovereignty of God, wanting our life to be ruled by him. Also, his sovereignty keeps us in check. For the old Steeler fans, one of their coaches, I think Chuck Knoll, he used to go up on a scaffold to watch practice. Okay, real high over the whole field, he could see everything. I see what you're doing back there, pew number, you know. Left pew there with the gal with the burgundy shirt over there. Or whomever else you pick out. Okay, he's seeing all the... He said, you know, hey, Bradshaw, you threw to the wrong guy. He has a bullhorn. Ah, Green, you were offsides. Franco, you hit the wrong guy also. Okay. And the Steelers, they had a saying about their coach. They said, the eye in the sky doesn't lie. Okay. Now, that's the sovereignty of God. But God is a hands-on. He's like a good hands-on coach. Now, he's right in there with us. Oh, let me manage it with you for your redemption. Give you enough freedom so you no responsibility. But that's the sovereignty of God. Yield to him. Say, Lord, I take responsibility for all my sins and for my spiritual condition, and I turn to you. You could do that on a daily basis. Hey, we're responsible for our spiritual condition, for all our sins. And then finally, the good news of a good shepherd. I like this part. He's the sovereign, yet he said the shepherd. What does the shepherd do in the passage? He tends, gathers, carries, and leads you and me. Tend, that's a fancy word for feeds. Feeds. Is God feeding you? He says he will. He says that the shepherd will feed his sheep. Gather his sheep. God's into church. Gather the sheep. Carry the sheep. Get you through the trial. Lead the sheep. Yeah, we'll learn obedience. So he is really good. A close good shepherd. We're engraved on the palm of his hands. He's closer to us than mom and dad. Isaiah says, if mom and dad, you know, if they forget us in some manner by some strange occurrence, you know, being too human or sinful or something, God says, I will not forget you. I will not forget you. And if we're as weak as, you know, too bad our candles are burning strong today, but if it was a very weak flame and say, that's my relationship with God right there, you know. It couldn't heat up a marshmallow, you know. God says, I'm not going to hush you out. I'm going to get you back to health. That's the good shepherd. That's the Lord Isaiah knew, and you and I can know. We say, Lord, be that great God for me, and help me to be a messenger. Have those beautiful feet. Here's your God. Behold your God. And God works through us. Might we meet with him at his table? And before we do, I want to ask your prayers for some families who lost loved ones. Zalesniak family, please, with the visiting at Shirley's this afternoon, 2 to 4, 6 to 8. Margaret followed the Lord, 95 years old. Man, there's a lot of praising for her. Then remember friends of Dolly Bauer, that would be particularly Dale and Lois Kerr family, the Jim Nelson family, please also. Norma Guyon, dear believer, 92, within her last days there. Pray for Lindsay and Brian Boone, needing your love. Just prayers, cards, they do help. Carrying twins, one twin did not make it, the other twin at risk. So this is, they're very loving parents, and the Lord knows how to help Brian and Lindsay. They lean on the Lord. It's pretty amazing how they do. And we're going to pray for the events coming too. Let's pray together. Lord, the dear folks who hurt, please be their comforter. This truth about you, well, you said you'd carry them, you'd be the ruler of the moment. And they would even say, well, behold, God's with me. Let your care help these ones who lost loved ones and sustain ones in the hospital. Paula Bittner, Carolyn Azevedo. Give blessing to the Hope and Passion event Saturday, that it would change lives and make us trustful, obedient believers. And some turn to you even. And then Bible quizzing, bless that this Saturday also. Work in people's lives for voting. Lord, thanks for freedom to vote. Thanks for freedom to vote for life. Thanks for freedom to vote for God's ways. And meet us at your table, dear Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.